And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. We thank you, O God, again for this another opportunity to be let down into the deep treasures of your word. We pray in particular, O God, again, that you would stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice, touch these lips of clay, that I may be able again to edify your people according to the power that works in me. And O God, we pray that you speak to the stillness of our hearts, that we might know we've heard from on high. In the wonderful name of Christ Jesus, we do pray. And together, all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Praise be to God. It is good to be in the house of the Lord again. We are grateful just to be in the land of the living. We know that every day above ground is a good day, and I'm grateful that God woke me up this morning. Somebody ought to say amen. I am grateful, amen, for this young adult choir that led us this morning and lifted us in song to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. Praise be to God. All of our young adults are not out there hanging out on the street. Amen. They are in church loving God. Thank God for this band. Amen. Under the leadership of Tina Bryant, our friend, and we're grateful just to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see our pastor emeritus in the house. And all who are here, amen. We will continue our series out of the book of James. And if you have your Bible and you are able to stand, or if you have your iPad, iPhone, smartphone, or whatever you use in this day of technology, get it in your hand and let's stand in honor of him whose word this is. We're going to pick up where we left off. On last week we read for you James chapter 1 verses 1 through 4. Today we're going to begin at verse 5 and we'll walk all the way until verse 8. It says, if any of you, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, and the text says, unstable in all his ways. Just want to put a tag on this text, talk about for a timely tidbit. Wisdom free for the asking. Wisdom free for the asking. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I greet all of you who are tuned in by way also of my social platform, whether it be YouTube or whether it be Facebook Live or on our website. Welcome this morning to the historic St. Paul Church. Amen. Wisdom free for the asking. In our study last week, we saw that James reminded us that trials and tribulation are certain and unavoidable. We learned that the question is not if trials come, but James says when trials come. Beginning in verse 5, he then now tells us to pray and ask, and what to ask for when the trials come. But when the trials come, the reality of it is we should ask for more than help. James, in this text, tells us that we ought to ask God for wisdom. Now, you might be thinking, that's a strange thing to ask for when you're neck deep in adversity or affliction, when you are in the midst of trials and tribulation. You might think that it's crazy to ask for wisdom when you are between a rock and a hard place. You might think it is not the right thing to ask for when you are between the devil and the deep blue sea, when you're between a rock and a hard place. Somebody knows that you'll say, I like the prayer for help better, because when I am in a financial trial, I need help from the one who owns the cattle of a thousand hills. When I need resources, I need help from the one who can certainly put food on my table and clothes on my back. When I get a diagnosis from the doctor, I need help from the great physician. And so those of us who have ever been in a predicament in our life, we realize that there is a cry and a need for help. But in our text, James says that the real thing that we really ought to be asking for, he says, we ought to ask for wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom, my brothers and sisters, because the truth of the matter is, we'll see that wisdom in this text is exactly what we need when we are facing trials and the tribulations of life. And so the question that we've got to ask is, what is this wisdom in which we should pray for? First, let me just drop this on you real quick and remind you what wisdom is not. First of all, wisdom is not the possession of information. Hear me, and hear me good. In other words, it's not just about knowledge. And you ought to know that it is possible to have knowledge and not have wisdom. We live in a day and time where man's knowledge is expanding rapidly. We have been hearing a lot about beloved stem cell research and cloning of human beings. We know that we've got smartphones that seem to be smarter than us. We can whisper some things and get the information quicker than quick. And the truth is, beloved, man has been capable at this time of doing a lot of things that defy the imagination, yet not the knowledge explosion of our generation does not necessarily means that one is wise. I hope somebody get that, because wisdom is not the possession of knowledge, but also wisdom is not formal education. Get that, because here it is. A person can have a PhD from Harvard, Yale, Cal Berkeley, and even Stanford, and, beloved, not be wise. You can know a lot of things that go on in the world and can be a certain expert, hear me, in a certain field and yet not be wise. The truth is, there are a whole lot of educated fools. My son is on his way to Dillard on Wednesday. My other son is just enrolled in San Jose State. But just because they get formal educations does not mean that they are wise. I know a whole lot of folk that never graduated from high school, and they are wiser than men and women who got PhDs. Somebody ought to shout amen. Wisdom is not the possession of information, nor is it formal education. The prime example is Albert Einstein. Listen to the words of Albert Einstein as he talked at a conference attended by good churchmen and scientists. Here's what he said. In their struggle for ethical good, teachers of religion must have the stature to give up the doctrine of a personal God. Listen, beloved, Albert Einstein's IQ was so high that when he died, they wanted to dissect his brain to find out how men could gain intellect. But I want you to know, beloved, just because Albert Einstein had the capacity of knowledge and a formal education, hear me and hear me good, it did not make him wise, because the Bible declares, beloved, that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And if Albert Einstein said that if we are searching for the ethical good and the only way we find it is to give up the doctrine of a personal God, he's simply suggesting that there is no God. I wish somebody would help me. Now, I'm not calling Albert Einstein a fool, but listen, that's what the books say. A fool has said in his heart, there is is no God. So you can have all of the formal education and you can have the possession of information and still not be wise. I like, beloved, the way, if you would, Earl of Shaftesbury of England said during his educational campaign in the 19th century, this is what he said: education without instruction in religion and moral principles were merely result in a race of clever devils. I like that because it's in line with what Job said in chapter 32, verse 9 of the book of Job. It says, great men are not always wise. Hear me, and hear me good, beloved. Wisdom is not the possession of information. It is not, beloved, it is not formal education. Well, then, I'm glad you're about to ask this question. What is wisdom? Good question. Let me give you a working definition right up front. We'll jump right into the text. Here it is. Wisdom is the God-given insight into our human circumstance and situation that enables man to see God's will and God's way. Can I say that again? Let me rewind it real quick. Here it is. Wisdom is the God-given insight into our human circumstances and situations that enable us to see God's will and God's way. In other words, wisdom is seeing life from his perspective. Get that and get that good. It's not our perspective, but wisdom is given to man that they may see life from his perspective. And that's why James highlights this ideal of wisdom right here as he talks about trials and tribulation. James, when he talks about wisdom, talks about seeing the trials of life, the tribulations of life, the problems of life, the predicaments of life, the challenges of life from God's point of view and evaluating those trials from his perspective. I wish somebody would help me. So here it is, the text. We'll get right into it. What's the question? First question we've got to ask, and that is this: why is wisdom required? Here it is. I ran across a statement that I thought was very applicable to this subject right here, and that is, unless there is within us that which is above us, we will soon yield to that which is around us. I like that because that's exactly what James is talking about. When he talks about wisdom, he's talking about something from within us that comes from above us that enables us to deal with all of this stuff around us. Here we are paused in this pandemic dealing with all of this social injustice and black on black crimes. We're about to run into an economic downfall, and the truth of the matter is we need the wisdom that comes from God, wisdom that is in us that enables us to deal with those things around us. And here it is, when you talk about wisdom and when you talk about why it's required, you got to look at the lack of wisdom, the lack of wisdom. Verse 5, watch what he says: if any of you lack wisdom. Stop right there, because the word lack speaks of something that is absent or missing. In this case, James is talking about the lack of wisdom or the absence of wisdom. It's very obvious that James views the absence of wisdom as a very serious matter. Why? Because we saw it from last week's message. Trials always have a divine purpose in life. The wisdom enables us to look at those trials and look at those tribulations and look at those problems with the understanding that our trials are not without rhyme or reason. In other words, there's a purpose for that trial being in our life. Wisdom helps us to see that problems have been produced with purpose and packaged with potential to bring out of us what is in us. I wish somebody would help me. Wisdom equips us to see and face our trials and enable us to trust God with the purpose and the end result of that trial. It simply says this, that God literally knows what he's doing. And I need the wisdom that comes from God that enables me to see what God is doing. David Jeremiah, as he dealt with cancer, said it like this: when facing trials, it is important to know how to cope with them. The only way that we will be able to understand these trials and respond to them properly is to ask for the wisdom which God alone can give. I hope somebody gets that today, beloved, because the truth is this: one can see why it is important to have wisdom when going through the trials of life. If we cannot and do not see the trial as a divine purpose, have divine purpose, our trials can make us bitter instead of better. I hope somebody gets that this morning. It'll keep us down instead of lifting us up. It will, beloved, have us wondering how we're going to get through instead of trusting in the one who will bring you through. Is somebody listening to me today? That's what wisdom is all about. And here it is, beloved. It'll leave us frustrated on our journey, unfocused in our life. It will leave us faithless in our walk without understanding the divine purpose of our painful problems and predicament. It'll leave us down, discouraged, and even depressed. It could make us cold-hearted and complaining without comfort. But on the other hand, I wish I had somebody in here to help me. If you got the wisdom of God, it allows us to understand that our trials are working on our behalf and for our benefit. That's the highlight of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that says, "And we know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose." Here it is in a nutshell. James tells us that trials will come, and therefore we need to pray for more than help. We need to pray for wisdom so that we can see that divine trial, that trial from a divine perspective, and be able to face that trial head on. Instead of complaining, we learn, beloved, how to light a candle. Come on, somebody. Instead of cursing the darkness, we learn how to light a candle. Wisdom equips us for those trials. Wisdom enables us to face trials, and a lack of wisdom leaves us unable to see the trial for what it is and leaves us without the ability to face that trial head on and cope with the with Christ-like endurance, stamina, patience, and even strength. Somebody ought to get that. So the lack of wisdom, when it says why it's required, because we don't want to be lacking wisdom, and because of what happens when we lack wisdom, the text says we ought to long for wisdom. It's in the text. I don't want you to think I'm making this up. James says in verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God." Listen, I like that word "ask" in the text. It's common word used for asking, yet it means more than just asking for something. It is in the imperative move, which simply means James is been commanded by God to give us a command. He is commanding us to ask for wisdom. It is in the imperative move, but no, it is present imperative, which carries the ideal of continuous action. He commands us to ask, if you would, for wisdom, but he also says, "I need you to keep on asking. If you don't understand, you gotta keep on asking. If you don't get it, you gotta keep on knocking, and you gotta keep on seeking, and you gotta keep on asking." It is a continual process. If you don't understand what God is bringing you through or taking you through, he says, you gotta keep keep on asking God. It's the ideal, beloved, of begging. It's the ideal of desiring or craving something. And James is telling us that our asking for wisdom comes from a longing for wisdom. When we face the trials of life, we should ask God and keep on asking until God gives us the answer that we need. We should have a deep desire in us to have God give us the wisdom that we need while we are facing trials. Listen, I'm only talking to those folk who know that you've been in a trial or a tribulation in your life, didn't know which way to turn. And listen, the only place you had to turn was to Almighty God. You longed for an answer. You tried to get an understanding. You kept on calling on God's name. And somehow or another, quicker than quick, in the midnight hour, God gave you the wisdom and the answer that you needed. Listen, it reminds me of a story of a proud young man who came to Socrates and asked for knowledge. He walked up to the muscular philosopher and said, "Oh, great Socrates, I come to you for knowledge." Socrates recognized a pompous numbskull when he saw one, so he led the young man through the streets and to the sea and chest deep in water. Then he asked the young man again, "What do you want?" The young man said, "Wisdom, oh great Socrates, oh wise Socrates." And Socrates put his strong hand on the man's shoulder and pushed him under the water, held him there for 10 seconds and for 20 seconds, then 30 seconds, and lifted him up again. Then asked, "Young man, what is it that you desire?" "Oh great Socrates, I would desire wisdom." The young man, he pushed him down again and held him down 30 seconds and 40 seconds and 50 seconds and let him up again and said to the young man, "What is it that you desire?" He said, "Oh great Socrates, I desire wisdom, if you would." And so Socrates held him down again, and as he held him down, the man began to struggle, and then finally, after a minute, Socrates let him up and said, "What is it that you want, young man?" And the young man said, "Air. I need air." I wish somebody would help me. Then Socrates looked at him and said, "When you want wisdom, as you have just wanted air, then you will have wisdom." What am I trying to help somebody to understand? And that is this: when we desire and long for wisdom, clarity, and understanding, when we desire it just like we desire our next breath, "I want to know why, God. I want to know how I'm to handle this. I need your wisdom to handle it the right way." And when we want God to answer us in regards to wisdom, just like we want our next breath, then God will answer our prayer. I wish somebody would help me. Then we will have wisdom when we long for it. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, because all I know is this, that there are some folk out there, you're going through it right now. You're paused in this pandemic. You're dealing with circumstances, a dilemma, trials, or tribulations, and you don't know or understand why you're going through it. Listen, you better ask God. And if you ask and keep on asking, wisdom is what you shall get. Help me hear somebody. Listen, beloved, we see in the text why wisdom is required. There's a lack of wisdom. There ought to be a longing for wisdom. But listen, we got to ask the question, where is wisdom received? That's the text. Listen, in the definition I gave you earlier, we saw that wisdom is God-given insight. It is the definition of wisdom does not come, my brothers and sisters, just from within us all by our lonesome from any human or earthly source. This wisdom only comes from God. James says that if you lack wisdom, he says, let him ask God. I like that because, listen, beloved, we ought to know right up front that real wisdom only comes from God. I'm not talking about worldly wisdom. I'm talking about godly wisdom. You can't get this kind of wisdom from Phil or Oprah. You can't get this kind of wisdom from some counselor or psychiatric therapist. Listen, beloved, you can't get it from seminary or cemetery. Come on, somebody help me. We can only get this wisdom from God. And so the question is this: what kind of God do we serve that he will give us wisdom? The text says that wisdom comes from a giving God. Somebody ought to shout right there. We serve a giving God. Matter of fact, our salvation came just because God loved us so much that he was willing to give his only begotten son that whosoever should believe in him should not perish. We serve a giving God. James verse 5 says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask God who gives. I like that. Stop there. In other words, God is the great giver. Notice verse 17 of the same chapter. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with wisdom, where whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hear me and hear me good, beloved. God given is expressed in many different ways and is understood in many ways. The good and perfect of that text, gifts that we all enjoy, comes from the hand of a beneficent God. Every blessing, every miracle, every favor that we've had in this life, every good thing, I wish somebody would help me. If you got a good job, God gave it to you. If you got food on your table, it was God who put that food on your table. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything that we enjoy, it comes from God. He is the one who gives. And in this case, note, he gives wisdom. Please note that he gives it without hesitation, reluctance, or reservation. The question you got to ask yourself is, do you really need wisdom? And I'll answer that for you. Yes, we all need wisdom. Every child of God needs a wisdom that comes from on high. So wisdom comes from a giving God, but also the text tells us that wisdom comes from a generous God. James tells us that God gives generously. And that word generously speaks of a bountiful giving. It speaks of giving liberally without conditions. The word literally means to stretch out. It is the word picture of God stretching or spreading out a table. He is a bountiful and liberal giver. He bestows this gift of wisdom upon us, sort of like the psalmist said in Psalm 68, line 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Do you need wisdom? Ask God, and he'll give not only wisdom, but he will give it in abundance. As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 11, verse 33 describes God as having wisdom in abundance. In other words, you need to recognize that the wisdom that comes from God never runs out. Somebody ought to shout amen right there. Hallelujah. He got more wisdom than we could ever need. And the truth of the matter is, wisdom comes from a giving God. Wisdom comes from a generous God. But listen, wisdom comes from a gracious God. If I were to shout you today, I'd shout you right here. Our God, as Dr. Campbell says, gracified us. I wish somebody would help me. James says, also verse 5, that when we ask for wisdom, God gives it without reproach. the word reproach simply means to severely reprimand. In other words, that God does not scold us for asking for wisdom. And we can come to God as many times as we want and don't have to worry about him saying, why you coming back tripping again? Why you coming back trying to ask me one more again about this wisdom? No, you just, God don't ever say, you asked me yesterday, so I ain't gonna talk to you today. No, somebody knows that God will answer us. And that word without reproach means that God will not scold us. He will not talk about us. He will not, come on somebody help me. He will not severely reprimand us for simply wanting to know why we are going through the trial that we're going through. Listen, wisdom comes from God, and the truth is it is a God-given insight and a God-given ability to face the trials of life. And wisdom comes, there it is, from a giving, generous, and gracious God. And I hope somebody knows and recognize that sounds like the God we serve. Can I say that again? A giving God, a gracious God, and a generous God. That's the God we serve when it comes to wisdom. And the truth of the matter is, somebody can testify that the only reason that you are still here on this second Sunday in August is because you serve a giving and a generous and a gracious God. I wish somebody would just help me real quick and just give God a shout out. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me and keeping me. Thank you for giving when I needed something in my life. Thank you for being generous, and thank you for being gracious, and you never reprimand me for asking for wisdom. I wish I had some folk who really love God right there in your living room where you live. You're not afraid to say, thank you, Jesus, for being there for me. You're not ashamed to give God some praise for being a giving, generous, and gracious God. That is the God that we serve. Woo, help me hear somebody. Listen, beloved, I'm done when I tell you this real quick, that we see in the text, beloved, why wisdom is required. We see, beloved, where wisdom is received. But lastly, I'll give you the bones. You put the meat on it when you get home. We will see when wisdom is refused. Well, in other words, why would God refuse us wisdom? I'm glad you asked. It's in the text. He talks about an unbelieving prayer, verse 6. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the winds. We are told that we must ask God for wisdom in faith. We should not ask him in doubt and not ask in unbelief. We are not to waver in our asking God for wisdom that only comes from on high. And James is describing a person who doubts like the waves of the sea. They are up and down. They are in and out, tossed about by the wind. In other words, their lack of faith leaves them hot one day and cold the next. Their lack of faith leaves them up one day and down the next. Their lack of faith leaves them in one day and out the next. We gotta have faith. We don't wanna be tossed to and fro like the wind and the waves. Verse 8, he says that kind of person who is tossed like the winds and the waves, who doubts, is a double-minded man. And the text says, I ain't make this up, is unstable in all his ways. In other words, he wishy-washy. In his Christianity, he don't stand firm in the faith. Come on, somebody help me. That they are unstable. They're wibbly-wobbly. Come on, somebody help me. They are two-so, that's what the word literally means, that they're divided in their heart, and that they believe one minute and do not believe the next. And James says that person is unstable. Here's what I want to suggest to you, beloved, and this is the word for the day. You got to learn how to be stable when it comes to God and the wisdom that comes from on high. You don't have to believe one
one minute and not believe the next. You need to learn how to stand firm on the promises of God, because truth of the matter is, if you are to get out of the trial or tribulation or handle it with the right perspective, it will be the God that we serve. I wish somebody would help me. So we might as well trust him instead of trusting ourselves. That's why the writer of Proverbs chapter 3, line 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. I like that, because that has the ideal of trusting not in self, but in the Savior. Don't trust in my money, but I trust in the Messiah. I don't trust in my possessions. I trust in the one who possesses me. He says, you got to have believing prayer. You ought not doubt God, because God will come through for you. I wish somebody would help me. If I had a house up in here, somebody be running around the church, because you already know God has provided for you. So he says, when wisdom is refused, when we feel that God is not giving us the wisdom we need or deserve, it might be because it's unbelieving prayer. And because of the unbelieving prayer, there is unanswered prayer. Verse 7, watch this. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. What man is he talking about? He's talking about the man that doubts. James says that we will not have, if we do not have faith when we pray, that we don't even think that God is going to answer our prayers. The Bible says it like this, clear as day: without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we do not ask in faith, hear me and hear me good, beloved, if we will not ask believing God will give us the wisdom that we are asking for, listen, our prayers of wisdom will go unanswered. Whoo, doggy, I just messed somebody up. I don't care how much you lay hands on it. I don't care how much you talk in tongues. I don't care how big your Bible is. I don't care how big the cross around your neck. I wish somebody would help me. I don't care if you've been in church since 19 or nothing. Listen, beloved, he says that if we doubt when we ask God for wisdom, he says, don't suppose that that man will receive anything. We got to trust God. We got to ask God in faith, knowing that God will answer our prayer. Listen, can I just give you that? Are you going through a trial? And you ain't got to tell me. Listen, because if you are not in a trial right now, either you just came out of a trial or you about to go in a trial. And when you are in that trial, you better recognize you need a wisdom that only comes from God. And you got to believe and not doubt that God is going to give you the wisdom that you need. Listen, your trial is not without rhyme or reason. Your trial has a divine purpose attached to it. Only God knows the reason why you are going through what you're going through. Yeah, I know you might say it might be self-inflicted, and that might be true. You brought yourself into it. Come on, somebody help me. Or it may be that others keep attacking you. Whatever it is, listen, it has a divine purpose in your life, and wisdom will enable you to see that trial from his perspective and not our own. Do I need to tell you this? That all of us can testify we done already in a lot of ways in our life led ourselves the wrong way. Come on, help me. You ain't got to say amen. I'll just speak for myself. I thought I knew what to do. I thought which way to turn. I thought I had the answers, and I just messed things up. But until I talk to God and allow God to give me wisdom that comes from on high, listen, beloved, then understood I about what I was going through. I know I'm not in here by myself. You right there in the midst of a trial and a tribulation. You need wisdom that only comes from God. James tells us that if we ask God, he will give it to us generously and graciously. He won't talk about us. He'll just give us what we need. But we got to hang in there. We got to keep on asking. And God will enlighten us on that circumstance. I like Sylvia Martin, who confined to her sick bed at a Bible college where her husband was spending several weeks at the school making a songbook for the president of the school. And one Sunday afternoon, while her husband went to a preaching engagement, she wrote this song. When he returned, she gave it to him, gave him the word. And it says like this: come what may, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Through all the days of toil, when heart does fail, when dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. Can I say that one more time? God will take care of you. Through every day, over all the way, God will take care of you. Wisdom free for the asking. And somebody here today, beloved, under the sound of my voice, you're going through it right now. And you need the wisdom of God. As Tina plays softly, let me just help you. Perhaps, beloved, this trial and tribulation, this pausing in the pandemic, the fear of this COVID-19, maybe the loss of job or a loss of a loved one. I've had to bury a few. I had to deal with this COVID-19. It's real, and it can cause fear in our life. You're trying to figure out why we're paused. I think all of this that we're going through, even this social injustice, has rhyme and reason for the body of Christ. And what we got to do is learn how to seek God for his wisdom on what is right and how to respond and how to deal with it. Because we already know that there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to destruction. The question we got to ask you today is, you trying to manage this thing on your own, but you need a wisdom that comes from on high. How do you get that wisdom? You got to ask God. But here it is. If you don't know God, you don't have a relationship with God, if you haven't given your life to the Lord, that's the first step to gaining insight and wisdom that only comes from on high. You got to ask God into your heart. And as I give this invitation right now, across this string, there's a number that you can call. And someone will respond to you today. They'll lead you to know the Lord for yourself. And they will gladly share with you the plan of salvation, pray with you. And they will allow you. And if you invite Christ into your heart, you'll now be in the family of God. But also, beloved, if you're out there and you say, I'm saved, I know the Lord for myself, but for whatever reason, I do not have a church home. Every believer needs a place to call home where the people of God can put their arms around you to help you to grow and to mature in the Lord. That, listen, you ain't going to find a greater church that can assist you than St. Paul. We can help you to grow. We can help you to mature in the Lord. We can help you to discern the wisdom that comes from God so that you don't have to be out there floating on your own and be undecisive and doubting God. You can put your trust in him, and that comes by growing and maturing in the word of God. We can help you do that. So right there at that number, if you want this church to be your church, you want me to become your pastor, and you become a parishioner here, listen, we gladly receive you today as this music is softly playing. Put your name there. Is there one to say yes to the Lord? Is there one to give their life to Christ? I'll give you time.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. That extends our invitation. And I just want you all to know, I pray you have a blessed week. And I pray that as you're going through whatever it is that you're going through, I pray that you ask God for wisdom. Listen, wisdom is so important for us, godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom. Because, listen, I got some boys out there, they'll give me some wisdom. But it ain't the kind of wisdom that I need as a child of God. I need to know that there's a God out there that knows better than I know, better than any other human intellect or educator. I got a God who says he'll give me wisdom graciously. And he'll give me wisdom generously. So, listen, I'll see you next week. Pray for us. Our one son is headed to Dillard on Wednesday. Need your prayers, and the family's going with him. I ask you to continue to pray for our pastor emeritus. Pray for the sick and shut in. We pray that you will pray for yourself as well as others in intercessory prayer. And we've got a group in this church that is consistently praying on a regular basis. And there are a couple of other announcements. And also, I want to encourage you to give simply because your generous, sacrificial giving is what enables us to do what we do on a regular basis. So we pray that you give generously and sacrificially. And when I'm done, there will be show you five ways to give that you can give. And I just want to encourage you to keep giving. God is doing something. And if you give, listen, here's what you know. You can't outgive God. Is that all right to say? Amen. We can't outgive God. So, all right, we love you. We'll see you. Thank you, young adult praise team. Amen. Wonderful job. Bless you, musicians. Amen. Praise be to God. Listen, you got to go to heaven and get something better than this. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. Thank you that we realize that as we go through trials and tribulation, your wisdom is what we need. So we ask, God, without doubting, without wavering, we're asking in faith that you give us the wisdom that we need. And then, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray that every individual that participated in this service today, we pray you pour back into them what they poured out into the kingdom, and we'll be careful to give you praise. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We shall see you next Sunday. God bless.